Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And if you ask me, it's the Golden State Warriors who are facing the most pressure out of them and the Lakers. They play tonight. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So you got the early game, which is the Lakers and the Pelicans. Perloff, again, we're talking about the NBA play-in, and then the Warriors and the Kings are the nightcap. And I think Golden State is feeling all the pressure in the world facing the Sacramento Kings.
Why? They're you know, Steph Curry's a pup compared to LeBron James. Steph Curry's got five more of these playoffs. This is now or never for, if it's not now, when, LeBron?
Well, LeBron's going to play forever. I don't know if you got that memo. He still has to wait.
But he's not going to win forever.
Well, he still has to wait for Bronny. So the calculus has changed a little bit for LeBron James. And I think the Warriors are feeling a lot of pressure here for a couple reasons. Number one, they have a major decision to make at the end of the year about Klay Thompson. And this could be the end of an era. To peter out or to wimp out or to, you know, just sort of go away here against the Sacramento Kings and this be potentially the end of Steph and Klay and Draymond with Steve Kerr all together, that is not an ending that is worthy of what we saw from this core together. They also have a $177 million luxury tax. Believe it or not, this is a team that's built to win right now. The money tells you that they should be competitors. And you know what? 2 years ago, we didn't think that they really had a prayer and thought that all their winning days were behind them. Mm-hmm. And they were able to mount this great run and won another title. So to me, add in the Draymond drama and everything that you had earlier this year with him having to leave the team. Curry's been up and down, been injured. I just think the Warriors have to be looking at tonight's one-and-done game and thinking, you know, it's a potential go-home game, and thinking, we cannot lose this game. We have all the pressure in the world on us.
I feel like nationally no one's paying attention to the Warriors as a potential championship run, which might be a mistake because they've been stuck at 10. Also, they have these young guys coming up, like Kuminga is, I think, going to hit his peak in 2 years. So I think that they hope the young guys and Pods and these guys hit their stride just as Steph has a little bit left in the tank. So I think there's another run. Explain to me, if it's not now for the Lakers, when is this team going to win? Like, they have had this incredible run of Anthony Davis health until a little bit recently, and they have LeBron playing like he's 30. When do you think that he's going to be able to do this again? Like, this is really now or never.
Well, it's now or never maybe LeBron on the Lakers, but this isn't now or never LeBron James.
Well, how so? Where's he? He's going to do another Miami Heat super team? You think he's, where's he going next year? This is his best chance.
Well, it might be, it's a very good chance. Although if they face off against the Nuggets in the first round, I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just saying I wouldn't be betting on the Lakers in that round. But here's the thing. I would not put it past LeBron James to be going maybe to your Philadelphia 76ers. What about the Dallas Mavericks? There are other landing spots for him. He's always wanted to play with Steph Curry. I don't know if they would welcome him to that team. Maybe they would. There's another move potentially here for LeBron James. So, yes, while there's pressure, I guess, with the Lakers, he already won a title with them. Granted, it was a bubble title, but he still has one. And I don't know what the future holds. And if he played for another team, would you be that surprised?
Those situations would surprise me big time. First of all, he's going to go to Dallas and watch Luka dribble and shoot for 50% of the possessions. That seems like a weird fit to me. And also, Dallas would probably lose that team. They already have Kyrie. That is not... If I was going to put together a trio of superstars, that would not be my trio. Philadelphia, no. Joel Embiid will never be healthy for a playoff series. Never happening. I think LeBron is running out of time. And he has Anthony Davis here. That's as good a superstar as anybody you could imagine. He's a perfect fit with LeBron. They do different things. These other guys do the same things as LeBron. Also, the way they've been playing, they really geared up. I think they thought they had a chance this year. I think they tripped a little bit at the end of the year because of health. But I think they think they're geared up. They made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. I think they think they're a little better this year.
Mm.
So I don't know. It feels really now or never. If LeBron loses, say they do get to the first round and lose to Denver and it's bad, I think you're going to see a very deflated LeBron. Because I think he really believes this is a chance this year.
Well, you'll find LeBron James, and what's he going to do? He'll talk about retiring the next day to totally avert all the attention away from the fact they lost onto him. He's been a master at that. See, here's my question, though, about LeBron. Don't you think, yes, it's about titles at this point, but there are people like, you and others who I don't think LeBron can really do a lot more for his legacy here, right? Like, what is another title? You never think that he's ever going to catch Jordan. And you don't think the longevity is a feather in his cap for the case against Jordan or him versus Jordan. So I'm just talking about legacy here for LeBron. What more can he do to prove to someone like you that he is actually the greatest player of all time? Because I think the calculus has changed for him. I think now he's thinking about Bronny. He's thinking about how do I get this going and how do I play with my son? Because he's never going to convert people who are Jordan people into thinking that he's the best ever.
He's an NBA player. He's not a writer for Bleacher Report. What does he care about the top five players of all time? He is actually out there.
You don't think he cares? Get out of here.
He had 28 points and 17 assists the other day. He's an NBA player who's focused on one thing, and it's winning a championship. I don't think there's no way. If he's thinking about legacy right now, that's bizarre.
No. We're talking about pressure. That's where this conversation started.
Right,
who is more pressure, the Warriors or the Lakers? And I'm saying I think it's the Warriors, because I think Steph still winning still adds to his legacy. I think people like you have already made up your mind about LeBron James. Winning a title doesn't do anything more for him.
It doesn't matter. He's not thinking. He can't possibly be thinking about history and legacy right now. He's got a very, very competitive team in the NBA playoffs. He is probably focused on tonight's game. This is about this year.
He's not. You and I. I'm talking about the public.
I'm just saying, but LeBron. No, but the question is, who has more pressure? Who is in a now or never situation? I think LeBron is very focused on this season. I think he knows he has a really good team. I don't think any of that history stuff, who cares about him versus Jordan? This is about 2024, and LeBron knows, this is a shot. I think he's going to be really deflated if they do not do anything in this playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whereas Steph, I think, could be looking forward to, hey, we'll get him next year. This year has been kind of clunky. I think Steph, the Warriors 2 years ago had their run. I think he's gearing up for another run at some point. Maybe it's this year. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Warriors are kind of they see Kuminga. It's really coming up big time. Maybe they say next year is more of a year.
Yeah.
Whereas the Lakers, there is no next year.
Yeah, Kuminga also playing through a lot of injuries as well. We're asking who's feeling more pressure as the play-in games start tonight. Lakers are playing the Pelicans. That's the early game. And then the Warriors are playing the Sacramento Kings. That's the late game. And I do think it's the Warriors. You think that it's LeBron James and the Lakers. And again, I'll just go to... I think a lot of people for LeBron, there's no more discussion. You've either picked your side. You kind of are in your camp. Curry's a different type of discussion. I think him, in terms of pressure and where his place is in the game and all of that, is more about how he influenced the game, not a question of, is he the greatest player of all time? He's going to be up there on the list, but his influence and how it's filtered to the youth sports and the rest of the league and all that and changed the league. For LeBron, I think a lot of people have put their line in the sand. You either think that what he's doing at 40 makes it more impressive than Jordan, or you don't. And or it doesn't matter to the equation at all. It's just longevity. He's compiling all of that. And that's why I don't know if what another title does. He's not going to catch Jordan. It would be five. It wouldn't be six. And so I don't know exactly what he's playing for at this point. Now, I know what he's taking the court to play and win, but as far as the public is concerned, does a fifth title do anything for his legacy?
Well, first of all, it does. It's a huge accomplishment. If he wins a title this year, that's a gigantic accomplishment. He's 39. It'd be one of the most historic. It's kind of like Tom Brady winning at 43 with Tampa Bay, but even bigger. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a little bit off how you're bringing this all to LeBron and Jordan. This is actual. We are on the brink of the NBA playoffs. You seem to be making this, pulling back and looking at this historical thing. I do. Honestly, I really don't believe LeBron James is thinking like that. I think he is a professional athlete who's focused on the now. And I think we should kind of take our cue from him. Who cares about LeBron Jordan? Like, this is his chance. And I think he looks at it every year. Kind of like, this gets back to our Tiger debate. Like, I just think that LeBron's like Tiger in the sense that, you know, he thinks that, man, I'm 39. I'm not who I used to be. But if I can put it together for this one run, man, it's coming. And I do think it'd be spectacular for all of us if LeBron made this run. And it would add, I disagree about the fact, I understand LeBron Jordan, but it would certainly add significantly to his legacy. I think this would be a massive accomplishment if he did it at this age.
Well, maybe he would turn some of the people who have, not, I want to say the LeBron haters, but the ones who don't give him as much credit, right, because of the longevity, and think that sort of makes his case him versus Jordan. But the reason why I bring up the where is his place is because you just mentioned, who are the two people who you just mentioned in the last 2 minutes that he's most compared to? Brady and Tiger.
Right.
These people and these all-time great athletes are not in this for first-round matchups and second-round matchups. We're talking about titles here. And that's really, I hate to, you know, just whittle it down to that, but that's really all that matters at this point. LeBron James doesn't get a participation trophy. He doesn't get a pat on the back if you go six games with the Nuggets and lose in the first round. We hold him to a much higher standard. That's why Tiger doesn't get pats on the back just for making the cut, or Tom Brady doesn't get pats on the back for losing in the divisional round to the Rams. These are the kinds of people who are only judged on titles because of how much success they've had.
Right,
and so that's why I feel like I get why LeBron does have pressure, but I think that he's under a whole other calculus here, right? Whole different calculus at this point, where I think he just wants to play with Bronny, and I don't even know if he really thinks another title's attainable.
I mean, you saw him play. The other day, he came out in that deciding game against the Pelicans on Sunday. He's like, I'm reminding everybody that I can be the best player in the world, and he's playing like that at certain times. So I think he knows he can dial up and just be the best guy out there at any given time. I think he thinks he can win a championship. I think that's his only expectation this year. Anything
Although
short
Davis
of that,
isn't healthy and he left the game with back spasms and hip spasms. I mean, I know LeBron it's going to be harder to win if he's the best player on the floor. You really need Anthony Davis to be on a heater.
Maybe. I think there's only one team out there that they're scared of. I think LeBron thinks he can beat everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's just the Nuggets.
Just the Nuggets.
It's a Jokic, Murray, Porter problem where they have this gigantic, talented front line. I think they have the same problem as everybody in the NBA. But I think the Lakers believe, and I think LeBron believes, they're probably the second best team in the West. And they think if they probably want to play, I like this point, get the Nuggets early before the Lakers get hurt. That's going to be their toughest matchup. I mean, they could just bully ball some of these other teams. Like, they're way bigger than the Warriors. The Mavs are sort of incomplete. I think that the Lakers might not be so afraid of the Nuggets early. It's a risk, but listen, I totally disagree with you about the mentality. LeBron is not thinking about Bronny right now. He's thinking about a title. And I think the fact that they're the second best team in the West the whole NBA since February 1st means a lot. I think LeBron thinks, oh, I got my squad. I'm ready to go. You know, the one thing about, can we just get back to LeBron Jordan? I'm sorry to do this one more thing. It's not that LeBron can't catch Jordan. It's just like, I feel like Jordan is the most spectacular NBA player of all time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not, there's nothing he could do because like Jordan was so good.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
So the debate's over.
Yes. Michael Jordan's the greatest NBA player of all time.
Right.
And LeBron is definitely not going to pass him. I mean, there's nothing like I just saw Jordan at his peak and I saw LeBron at his peak and Jordan was better.
Right. And that's where you and I will disagree, because it's one thing to be at your peak. It's another thing to sustain your peak for 20 years. And I think the fact that LeBron has sustained the peak for 20 years should count in this debate. And that's where you and I will never see this the same. But again, that's where I come back to LeBron and there's nothing he can do to change people like you's mind. And a lot of people who believe that Jordan was the greatest player ever, and there's no debate about it, that another title doesn't do that for him, right? Because it gets him to five. It's not going to get him to six. And even if he did get to six, I think people would say, well, it's later in his career, and he might not have been the best player on the court and all of that. So he's never going to change people's minds about his legacy if you're a Jordan person. So honestly,
if you're a Jordan person, that's like, you know, that's like if you thought Babe Ruth was good at baseball. I don't understand this. Everybody's a Jordan person. He was Michael Jordan. He's Air Jordan. There's no non-Jordan people, are there? Even if you like get into this debate, you still respect Michael Jordan.
Obviously, but there are sides to this thing. We all know it.
No.
There are
no sides.
See, again, this is why, what is, why, I mean, why even feel
if,
pressure
if
you're
Joel Embiid wins a title, is he better than Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell? I mean, there's no sides in that debate.
You know that that's not the same thing.
It's close enough.
I don't think so. But this is why for me, LeBron, it's like, where's the pressure? You're never going to please people. You know, you're doing it for yourself. I get that. But as far as you being measured up against your, you know, the one person you're chasing the ghost of, the one person in this big, you know, question about you versus Jordan, you're never changing people like Perloff's mind. And losing in the first round of the Nuggets isn't going to do anything. That's for damn sure. And so I think he's thinking now, maybe not today as he's lacing up the shoes, but he's thinking, all right, my next legacy is I'm actually going to play with my son.
I think LeBron James is an elite athlete. He's actually taking a game at a time. I don't think he's thinking about this gigantic conversation. I mean, genuinely, like, I don't think, yeah, I understand that Michael Jordan inspires him to be a better player all time, but do you honestly think he's looking at the Pelicans game and thinking about his legacy? There's no way. He's got a task at hand, man.
No, he does.
He's got to figure. You saw the JJ Redick podcast. He's got some X's and O's to figure out. He's got some high pick and rolls
to deal with.
He is not thinking about any of that stuff. He's thinking, man, I really want to win all these playoff series.
Well, it's funny because we talked about whether or not this would be, you know, totally against all rules of competition and everything LeBron and great players kind of stand for. But should they think about losing this game intentionally tonight to then get to the Warriors-Kings winner so that you would avoid the Nuggets? Like, if there's even any of that calculus going on, which I doubt, because, like, how could you really do that?
That's a tough calculus. You do not want to see Steph Curry in a one-game playoff.
Also, it could backfire in such a spectacular way. I don't think teams can actually take that kind of risk. However, if there is a thought that that's their easier path, then you're already manipulating things. You're already saying, all right, I need to do this to do this to do this. Like, so don't just say, oh, he's taking it one game at a time. He's not thinking about anything else. If there is any thought about trying to maneuver around the Nuggets, then you are thinking about other things. You are looking down the road.
I'm 100% sure there is no thought about that.
Well,
because he's going to lose this game on purpose to face a Kings team that they're 0-4 against this year or to face Steph Curry? No. That would be insane.
Again,
I've actually thought more about that.
But then, like, you're going to play the Nuggets, and what's going to happen?
I mean, he could care. I mean, there's no way going out of the play-in. Now that's bad. I honestly, like, this is actually kind of do or die. The Kings, Domantas Sabonis is like Will Chamberlain in the 60s against the Lakers. He completely owns them. There's no way LeBron wants anything to do with either of those teams.
So the question, EJ, can we put this up on the poll, please, at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter? Who's feeling more pressure tonight? I guess it has to be tonight, because if the Warriors lose, this is it. Who's facing more pressure? Steph Curry, LeBron James, Warriors, or Lakers? 855-212-4227. That is the number to call to get involved in the show. So much to do today. Got a lot happening yesterday. Got kind of busy around here. The WNBA draft, we have our big takeaway from that. And the one way you know that there may be some equality between the men's game and the women's game happened last night at the draft. And we'll tell you why next. Maggie Perloff, across the country on the Infinity Sports Network.
What a night in the NBA. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We have Steph Curry and LeBron James in the play-in tournament. Still boggles my mind that the two greatest players of their generation are in this weird play-in tournament. But it gets you thinking about legacy. You know, what does this title mean for both of them? For Steph, it's a little bit younger, maybe has some more chances in my mind. LeBron, it is now or never. So this is a big legacy sort of playoff. It's going to be a tough assignment, but the Lakers are a sneaky good team if they're healthy.
What I think is also very interesting about this playoffs that we're about to embark on is obviously the Western Conference is way more stacked than the Eastern Conference. Yet the top seeds in the Western Conference all seem kind of vulnerable potentially, except for the Nuggets. Maybe I think they've earned the the right to not be questioned. But you're telling me that Oklahoma City, there isn't a little vulnerability there because they're so young. You're telling me Minnesota isn't vulnerable. I mean, the top seeds, like, there, I don't think there's any, you know, there's not.
I don't even know.
It's not a fait accompli that just because you're a top seed in the West that you're going to get through anything.
Well, I mean, I don't think the T-Wolves are going to be favored. I mean, maybe they're slightly favored in the first round, but I don't
think.
Suns? Yeah, the Thunder definitely are not going to be favored. If they face one of these older teams, the West is an anomaly. In my opinion, I think, like, everybody wants to play a T-Wolves on the Thunder, right? I know EJ is a big fan of these young teams because he's a youngster, but you're telling me Steph and LeBron get a hold of these guys, and if to beat LeBron and Steph in seven games is a thing.
No, EJ sees himself in who? Anthony Edwards?
Shea Gildas. And I see myself in Steph and LeBron.
Yes.
I'm going for the, actually, there are middle-aged players on these other teams. You like these young
kids. Your role models.
I don't think, I don't know what the odds say, but I don't think anybody thinks Oklahoma City and Minnesota are dangerous in the West. I bet you there's picks out there. Everyone's picking the Nuggets. I mean, they are top of the mountain. But that's a problem. The Lakers, if the Nuggets weren't there, I would be so excited about the Lakers and your Warriors at your last dance. Either of those teams can make a run, but you have that Nuggets problem.
855-212-4227. So we started talking about what's on the line legacy-wise for both LeBron James and Steph Curry. Chad is in Boise, Idaho, of course. He's calling us on the line. What's up, Chad?
Hey, good morning, you guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You got it, pal. What's up?
Hey, so Perloff, you definitely could compete with Steph or LeBron.
You're right.
My thing is I'm like Perloff. I have always been a Jordan fan, and I think it's you know, everything about this really almost goes beyond basketball.
Yeah.
Jordan didn't get wrapped up in politics, even though he was getting so much pressure and, standing up for something.
Yeah.
And Jordan was loyal to the Bulls, even though, you know, they despised their general manager.
Sure.
And Jordan was just so dang tough. You know, when they lost to Detroit, and the very next day, he's got the entire team, in the weight room. And honestly,
he's ahead of, you don't think that LeBron has those same qualities, Chad?
I don't, because if you watch him out on the court, now granted, he's a great competitor. He's a great athlete. He takes care of himself. I think in his later years, he's definitely taken better care of himself than Michael did. I mean, you've never seen LeBron with a cigar. But that being said, Jordan's loyalty, his toughness, who could LeBron have honestly brought the worm along like Michael did, having to go to
Well, Chad, here's the thing, though. Did deal with Kyrie, not the same thing as Dennis Rodman, and thank you so much for the call, but a unique character.
Now, forget Kyrie. He had J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. Smith, who didn't understand what the score was in game one of the finals.
Yeah, I mean, J.R. Smith didn't even own a shirt for a big part of his Cavs run. No, J.R. Smith was his crazy guy. They had everybody, and obviously, every great player. I disagree a little bit. LeBron's probably had a lot of characters through the years. Every great player has to have a ride. This is why I love Draymond being a nut job for Golden State. Curry's had Draymond. You need a crazy guy around you. So, but what do you think of that idea that Jordan is more dedicated, like more of a killer and more of like getting the team in the weight room the next day? Do you buy that?
Listen, I think there's obviously tons of truth to this, and I think that they were just different kinds of leaders, and I also think that Jordan's aura has grown because of not just the winning, the crafty marketing, his own marketing. How we tell the story of Michael Jordan is just very different than how we tell about LeBron. You don't think LeBron's in the gym? I mean, the guy spent $1 million on his body. You don't think he's inviting guys over for basketball runs and stuff? They're just different, and it's looked at as a knock because, what, LeBron never punched a teammate as far as we know? That makes him some kind of softy?
Yes.
I always hated that. that comparison, like you have to be a complete and utter psychopath and basically, you know, so demanding on your teammates at all times. I think LeBron is demanding. It's just not like Michael or Kobe might show it.
Well, did you ever see the documentary about the Redeem team, the Olympic team? It was very clear, like, they needed a killer. So they brought in Kobe. And if there's such a thing as an NBA killer scale, LeBron is not where Michael and Kobe are, I think. But that being said, LeBron has some other attributes that are incredible. And he's not that far off. He's also a killer. Sure, LeBron is that. But the one thing, one more thing, you know, Michael Jordan, yes, cigar, but LeBron has been getting hammered on this podcast. So I don't think.
The red wine?
Yeah, I think he's.
Supposedly that's good for you.
He's. The wine lobby is really good at getting that message out. Three bottles of red wine, it's great. There's
it's
no,
like eating an avocado.
It's a PED. Yeah, it's great for you. So he's getting hammered on this stupid podcast. So maybe he's letting his health go just a little bit.
It's like the tannins or whatever. I think it helps your elevation.
Oh, God.
Improves your eyesight. George is in L.A. Hey, George, how are you? That's what I'm telling myself.
Good morning there. I'm going to go with, as far as the West favorites, I'm still going to go with Denver because I think of the Joker and his whole team and the coach and their discipline.
Yeah.
And they've been there, and they just know what to do when it's time to do it. I don't care. I don't think they really care if they were one, two, or three seed. I think they know what to do and take care of business. But one more comment I was going to make real quick. I think Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were just as good as Jordan and these other guys as far as discipline with their teammates and so forth. And that's just my opinion.
And Bill Russell. I mean, I think that there's a lot of guys, George, it's a good point. I mean, a lot of guys out there who are holding people accountable. What I think is funny about this is like LeBron kind of gets knocked, if you will, or it's kind of a backhanded compliment or it's shade or whatever because he's not perceived as being the killer that Michael Jordan was, right?
Yeah.
Or punching teammates in practice or all of that stuff. Yet Steph Curry, we do not hold him to that standard at all.
Right.
It's Draymond is the leader. Or Curry, you know, Draymond can be his guy and Curry, you know, Draymond can be the goon and Curry sort of gets to sit back or Curry can just lead by example. We're talking about the second best player of this generation. There is nobody says a word about his leadership style ever.
Right.
Isn't that odd?
No. Because no one's comparing Steph Curry to Michael Jordan.
Well, they compare him to LeBron.
Well, yeah, maybe. But LeBron has this Michael Jordan thing, this comparison that you keep pushing, and many others.
Yes,
many,
yes.
Many
it's
others.
Just me.
Many others, I admit.
I'm keeping it alive.
But why would you compare? Steph Curry's never, I've never heard someone say, hey, let's sit down and break down Curry versus Michael Jordan. Because everyone knows if Steph Curry came out against Michael Jordan, he would shut him down from 94 feet and be ugly. It'd be a massacre. I'm just kind of half kidding. But I just think that, yeah, you do bring up an interesting point. Curry's just a completely different thing.
Like floats totally on this leadership thing.
I don't think that's Steph Curry's jam.
But you shouldn't be able to choose that. Because LeBron doesn't get to choose how people criticize his leadership style. So, like, you don't get to determine that. That's the public who determines
Is this a little bit of a height thing, though? I mean, or even a position thing? Because I don't think people looked at Matt Johnson and said, hey, Matt Johnson should have been. I mean, they did say he was a little smiley, but, like, he didn't get, like, oh, he should be punching teammates or stuff like with Steph Curry. Like, I think some of it's just, like.
Magic had a lot of toughness questions. Like, that was the problem. Yeah, no, people came after him for being, like, Kareem was a real leader. Like, there was all sorts of, we just don't remember.
Right.
And Magic would get his coach fired, be a prima donna.
Well, that is a fact.
Well, I think, though, here's the thing. LeBron is number two on the all-time player list. Nobody's going to put Steph Curry, really, in number two, I don't think. I think LeBron, I think that's the big difference. If Curry was challenging, where's Curry end up in the all-time player list? Like, six, seven, eight?
Right, so instead of two, if you're seven.
Yeah,
nothing about how you were as a teammate or any of the permissive stuff with Draymond, not holding him accountable.
Oh, come on. Steph's just going to go out there and no, that's not his thing. He transformed the game by the way he plays, but you're not going to be, you can't be an outside shooter who's a leader like that. It's just different. You know what I mean? Like,
Cop out. You can be an outside shooter and be a leader. That's
Larry Bird is pretty ruthless as
Who?
A leader. Larry Bird is pretty
ruthless
as a leader.
Larry Bird didn't even probably care about half his teammates were. He just went out there and played
Larry
ball.
Larry Bird was ruthless to his teammates and the media and to their face. He was notoriously ruthless.
He was not your classic leader. Like, hey, rah-rah, everyone rally around me.
No,
not
exactly
at all.
What I'm saying, though. But his leadership style was basically, berating his own teammates.
His leadership style was all on the court, from what I saw. He was never talking to anybody or never doing anything. He was just like, watch me play, and you better play up to my standard. I think Curry kind of does the same thing. As I remember, I'd like to see the rah-rah speech from Larry Bird as a leader.
There is
never
no rah-rah. There is no rah-rah. He had no problem, though, going to the media being like, that guy sucks. If he doesn't play better, yeah. we're getting his ass out of there. Like, that was his leadership style. and he would tell it to the guys' faces, too.
Different kind of accountability. Yeah.
Larry was very much a leader by example. I think, and Steph is the same way, leader by just play like I play. I don't think that those guys really do
that's,
leadership.
That's
like,
fine. I just don't want to hear then that LeBron is not a good leader because his lead by example isn't good enough because Jordan was in people's faces. And it's just it's a ridiculous argument.
But you just admitted LeBron was not a killer like Michael Jordan.
I think he's a killer in his own way. Let's get to Bogish because he's got headlines for us, and it got busy last night.
It did. Everything sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. The Indiana Fever rolled the dice last night and went with Caitlin Clark with the number one pick in the WNBA draft in Brooklyn.
Shocker.
Then the real fun began with the LA Sparks taking Stanford forward Cameron Brink. Her dress last night almost as revealing as Perloff's Rowdy Roddy Piper killed and his soccer Halloween costume. The moral of that story is please wear clothes, pants, particularly Mr. Perloff.
It's a roundabout way to get to HR to tell Perloff to put some underpants on when you come to the office.
The Chicago Sky left the first round with South Carolina stud Camila Cardoso and LSU's Angel Reese. Now, right now, there are 12 WNBA teams. A 13th is coming next season, that one owned by the Warriors, and the league does not want to stop there. Here's Commissioner Kathy Engelbert on expansion yesterday.
We're on our way to 16. That will add 48 roster spots in just a couple of years. That, in a league of 144, is a lot, so that's 30%. And I think it'll be great when we get those done over the next couple years. So 26 is definitely our goal for certainly the next one. And then shortly thereafter, if not then, or the year or two after. So by 28, I'd say I feel pretty confident we'll be at 16 teams.
Toronto, Denver, Nashville, South Florida, Portland, and for some reason, Philadelphia, the possible new league cities. From the NBA, the Nets reportedly targeting Kings assistant Jordy Fernandez as their next head coach. He would replace Kevin Ollie, who replaced Jacque Vaughn midseason. The Houston Astros will wake up this morning at 6-12.
1-1 pitch. Riley hammers one through the left side, a base hit. In to score, Arcia. Acuna to third base. It's now 4-1 Braves. Four straight singles. And the Braves have a comfortable 4-1 lead of the night. Still no one out, and here comes Olsen.
Austin Riley's RBI single, part of a four-run ninth, which got the Braves a 6-1 win in Houston. New Astros closer Josh Hader charged with all of those ninth-inning runs, raising his ERA to 9.39.
Bo, can I ask you a question about this? Because I've seen the Astros struggling. Does this feel more like the schedule? Because they've played a lot of really good teams to start, or are they really seriously in trouble?
I wouldn't say that they're seriously in trouble, but they're probably just a little bit flawed right now. I mean, Verlander's going to come back this weekend, which should help, but they've had some other injuries in the starting rotation. Obviously, their bullpen has not been great. And I'm trying to think, health-wise, I think they're okay in lineup, so that's just about production. I mean, it's April 16th.
That's true.
Teams go on 6-12 spurts. It feels weird when they start the season like that. But I'm assuming that they're going to be okay at some point. They might not win the division, but they're going to be a wild card contending team.
This feels like the Astros have dominated Major League Baseball. To see them playing like this at the start of season is very odd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is year two, right, for the new manager?
Yes.
Yeah, for a new manager. Yep. So that's not really off. That's kind of off the table now, too. I just think this is kind of bad timing for a bad stretch.
I feel like they're the most, not disliked team, but everybody's like, oh, man, the Astros. I don't want to see the Astros. I hate the Astros. Just not because of the scandal, just also because they beat everybody.
Well,
I mean, they've beaten so many teams, too. Like, my Phillies had no chance against them in the World Series. Feel like how good they've been since the scandal makes them even more dislikable.
Yeah, no, I think there's something, too, like a little smile creeps across your face just a little bit when you see the Astros are struggling. And again, this is what always happens when teams get really good. You get the backlash.
It is.
Yep.
It's Joe Espada's first year, so it's a transition for the team. You know, they're a team that has talent, so they'll get it done. It's just, you know, they're getting off to a rough start.
Yeah, and it's all really the only old guy on the roster, so to speak, is Altuve.
Right.
Position wise, Tucker's young. Bregman is not an old guy
and
yet.
Bregman's in a walk year too.
Yeah, Alvarez is still young. The shortstop Pena has not fully replaced. He was great in the World Series. Did that kind of backstep last year.
He's getting there. They have the talent. They did. This is. I think it's going to come together. Let's see what they are on Memorial Day. That's a good test for them.
That was a real deep dive on the Astros,
yeah,
everybody.
You're welcome.
There
How
we
about
go.
The Mariners All right. weren't hitting.
And that concludes our Astros coverage for this month.
They beat the Reds 9-3. The Mariners did last night. The Orioles took their series open with the Twins 7-4. And the Yankees lost in Toronto 3-1 a few hours after the abrupt retirement of legendary radio voice John Sterling.
As they go back to back, and a belly to belly.
The 85-year-old had already cut back his schedule, but his health concerns had become too concerning. Sterling will be honored before Saturday's game with Tampa Bay. It's just a shame that as far as I know, he's not doing another game at all.
I know. I was
like,
bummed.
Not even one goodbye broadcast. He's going to be in the booth for part of Saturday's game, but it sucks that he just has to go home out of nowhere, basically.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got a little of John Sterling this season. You know, you got him on a Soto home run. You got him, there's a few things that we heard from John. I mean, we've known him personally around here. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Very welcoming when I got on radio in New York. And John would have this very funny, quirky thing he has tons of quirks, but he was very, very funny. And that if he would ever come into the radio station in the off season, which was very rare, because why would he come in? But he would just walk into the studio and sit down. And it was the best. It was like a wink, wink. We all knew it was going to happen. And he would just come in the middle of the segment and sit down. And all of a sudden we're talking Yankee baseball with John Sterling. It was awesome.
Did he come in with any weird calls? Like his first, like, he said, John Sterling's here, by the way. Did he just say something weird?
No, but I think he did feel, I can't speak for John, there was definitely some pressure about the home run calls. Because I remember when Giancarlo Stanton got traded from the Marlins to New York, he went to get some Italian phrases and it got a little backlash in the beginning. And then everyone, I think, started to learn to love it. They hate Stanton, but they like the call.
Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo.
There was some controversy about what he was saying. And he's like, I got it from an accredited place. And
yeah, I always confused that one, and there was a French one for Russell Martin, their former catcher, that one of them was just gibberish. Like, it was not anything. I think it was the Russell Martin one, which maybe leads to him trying to do his Italian research for Stanton.
John is awesome. He's great. He and Susan do a fantastic job, and they already have a succession plan with Justin Shackle. So
it's remarkable from a broadcasting angle. Until he was 80, 81, he was doing 9 innings of 162 games.
Never miss an inning.
And that is nearly physically impossible. Everybody else who's not 80 does 5 or 6, maybe 7 innings max. Very few people were doing all 9. And John was doing all 9, all 162, plus playoffs until he was past 80.
Plus the pregame show. I mean, he was hosting a Saturday show at one point from the stadium. Yes.
Might be one of the last characters in the radio booth in baseball.
Well, you got Bob Uecker still
doing
it, right?
Yes. He's television, though, right?
That's what I thought.
Oh, is Uecker doing TV?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Uecker's TV. Their TV, his radio. Their TV guy is usually Brian Anderson.
Okay. Second to last guy.
Basketball. I guess there's some character. Howie Rose is definitely, we know him well here, but this is the soundtrack of the Yankees. I mean, how many, even if you live anywhere, the Yankees are such a national team. How many afternoons did John Sterling keep you company?
Or even just watching.
On Medicar, that ball sure traveled far.
Or even watching ESPN or anything and getting a radio call that they'll play in a sports center. You always heard that voice. So it's definitely an end of an era for sure.
NL action last night. The Cubs outlasted the Diamondbacks 3-2 in 11 in Arizona. The Padres scored 6 in the fifth for a 7-3 win in Milwaukee. Two victims from the car crash that Chiefs wide out Rashee Rice allegedly caused by drag racing in Dallas March 30th are now suing Rice, and SMU wide out Teddy Knox, who was driving the other racing car, for over $11 million. And the New York Rangers clinched the best record in the NHL last night by shutting out Ottawa 4-0 in their regular season finale.
Good job.
Thank you very much. Pete, guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we will do our big takeaway from the WNBA draft. Again, the way you know that the women's game and the men's game, we're inching closer to equality, and I'll tell you why next. It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to the WNBA draft in just a moment, but Perloff, you saw that yesterday you had all the rest of the NFL teams were opening up their voluntary sort of off-season stuff.
Love it. Let's go. NFL, it's right around the corner, sort of.
Yeah, draft's 9 days away. We'll get there. Meanwhile, the team that so many are focused on because of how they played last year, the Houston Texans. So here is D'Amico Ryans, says the Texans are not worried about the expectations because they still see themselves as the hunters.
We're always hunting. That doesn't change for us. We're always hunting. Expectations on the outside, whatever that may be, it really doesn't change who we are, right? It doesn't. The expectations from outside don't permeate inside our building, and now we have to change what we're doing just because of outside expectations. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, good job, good effort there by D'Amico Ryans. I'd be saying the exact same thing if I were the coach of the Texans, but that's not the reality of what we live in. You can't guarantee that that's how your roster is going to feel, because there's just no other way to put it. I would say, besides maybe the Green Bay Packers, is there a team whose expectations have jumped more in the last year than the Houston Texans?
I mean, I think the Lions being third favorite in Super Bowl odds is a new territory. Don't you think nobody had the Lions in the top 15 last year?
No, but the Texans are last year's Lions, where they ended the season on this really good note, missed the playoffs, but that really good game in Green Bay to send Aaron Rodgers out the door put a lot of expectations on them.
Yeah,
this is what the Texans are dealing with now. And to be fair, the Lions handled it well, but the Texans, different kind of calculus.
Well, yeah, I don't think, I kind of believe him. I can't imagine that in that building there's some sort of like, we earned this, like, or any kind of entitlement. I would bet that they're still hungry, because they are, first of all, they're a very young roster. They haven't won that much. I understand the outside hype, but I doubt they're walking around saying, wow, we've already accomplished something. First of all, D'Amico Ryans does not seem like the kind of coach who lets that happen. He's a defensive coach. He, you know, was from a Niners team. He's kind of hardcore. I can't see any of this dangerous sort of we did something already mentality sneaking in at all. That does not worry me.
No. I'm not worried about the entitlement. I don't think they believe, we deserve to be in the Super Bowl next year. I'm just saying it's very different when you're the out of nowhere team versus the expectation team. And it's one thing for the coach to try to message, hey, we're still the hunters here. And you can try to play these mind tricks and mind games with yourself, but that might not be what CJ Stroud is feeling. You know, the expectations on him that he's an MVP candidate. You've traded for Stephon Diggs. That's a win now person. You're in this sort of win now mode as opposed to pleasantly surprising people with how good you are. You can try as you might to seal off the locker room and keep everyone, you know, hey, we're the hunters here. But the toothpaste is out of the tube. I hate to use the cliche, but it's already happened. And the Texans are facing these big expectations.
Yep.
I think I'd rather lean into it. Hey, we realize that we have a lot of expectations now. We're, you know, trying to live up to them as opposed to denying that. Hey, we're still the back of the pack here. No, you're not. You're what, third in – what was the Super Bowl odds?
They're seventh right now.
Okay, so you're a top 10 Super Bowl odds team. You're expected to do good, big things this
year. Yeah, and I think they will. C.J. Stroud strikes me as a different cat. That he's one of these, like, Tom Brady California guys who just – I watched him throw out the first pitch yesterday. He just seems like he is completely relaxed at all times. Mm-hmm. I don't think that – you know, Tom Brady was always able to – sort of manufacture bulletin board material. CJ Stroud does not strike me as a guy who he's going to sort of let these expectations affect his play in any way. And here's the bottom line. You could talk about favorites. You could talk about adding Stephon Diggs. The reality is any hot young team, if you hit and in the draft a quarterback, you are going to be in this position. And the Texans hit big time. So I think all the expectations are fair. Same with the Packers and Jordan Love. I think if you get that hot young quarterback, you got to be thinking like that. You got to be thinking, here we come. And I think the Texans are still going to have that. And CJ Stroud, you know, like all great quarterbacks, he has a backstory where he can always generate bulletin board material, overlooked at certain times of his career, stuff like that. He's fine on that front.
No, the cognitive test, right? Said that he was not going to have a great career.
He was not like a surefire thing at Ohio State either. Like, he sort of had to win that job. There was a lot.
After the Georgia stuff?
Yeah. CJ Stroud has always been. He's not a guy who's going to be entitled in any way. I think. Yeah, he's going to be good with this. I think he's the right mentality to handle these new expectations.
Yeah, sorry, I was confused with Justin Fields for a second. But here's the thing: I think that it's one thing for the coaches to understand it. Like, this is what I'm saying about D'Amico saying, "Listen, we're still the hunted. We're not letting any of that come into view. It's just not reality." Because that's not the reality your players are going to be living in. They're going to be feeling like there is pressure, and I think that's fine. I think it'd be embracing the expectations and saying, listen, we get it. You know, there's going to be targets on our back this year. Things have changed. We went from being a hunted, but now we realize that we're one of the great teams in the AFC, and we're trying to live up to that. Because when you deny that these expectations exist, that's when I think you can get into trouble, because that's not the reality your players are living in. You can try to convince yourself otherwise, but you're going to see the Texans are probably going to have 6 primetime games. Things are going to change for them this year.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I still think it's going to be a matter, as you would say, just, the offensive line should go out there and push around the guy. Like, I think they're going to be pretty professional and focus on the task at hand. I don't think any of this big stuff gets to them. You know, and it's football. It's, you know, just go out there and hit somebody.
The big expectations for one player solidified last night. We'll get to that next. Maggie Perloff.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.